Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, as he talks with leaders and entrepreneurs who are operating within their gifts and purpose, doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into their mindset to overcome adversity, the systems they've implemented, and the power of personal growth, faith, and more. You'll feel empowered to develop and implement a plan for your success so you too can live a life with purpose. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Welcome back to another episode of Why Not You, the podcast designed to help you discover your God-given talents and gifts and share them with the world. This is your host, D. Wells, and I'm excited about this episode. I'll be talking with Deb Holt, who operates Core Trainings with her son, Trevor, a leadership mentoring program designed to help students become mentors. We're just going to dive deep into the world of student-to-student mentoring and the transformative impact it has on young minds. Now, Deb is going to take us on a journey as we hear her inspiring story as she recounts her childhood desire to achieve something big in life that was driven by the difficult upbringing she had. You know, initially aspiring to become a lawyer, Deb soon discovered that her path was full of unexpected mentorship opportunities that would shape her journey in incredible ways. So let's get into this episode of Why Not You with our guest, Deb Holt.
So I know I'm honored to be a part of your world. You're good people, my friend. You're good people. So
thank you.
Blessed.
Well, yeah, we can get this party started there.
We'll just flow with it.
Yeah, we'll just flow. So basically, I always started off with a quote. And so when I saw this quote by John Maxwell, I was like, this is it right here. This is it. One of the greatest values of mentors is ability to see ahead what others cannot see and to help them navigate a course to their destination. Mm-hmm. John Maxwell.
And good one.
Like, how awesome is this to have this quote that actually aligns with what you're doing with Core Training with all these youth out there and how you guys are creating mentors to mentor other people.
Yeah. It's God is good. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. It's work. It's taken a lot of work to get here. You know, the buy-in, the belief and all of that. But we all need mentors. Yeah. We all need mentors. Can't do it alone.
Nuh-uh.
Right? Can't do it alone. Not if you want to go far.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the main things that people struggle with is just sharing what it is that they're doing or want to do with people, especially when they have something great. And for whatever reason, I think they might believe that, oh, somebody else is going to take my idea or something like that. So it prevents them from sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put themselves in this position of isolation and trying to do it alone. And that's not possible.
No, and I think that comes from a scarcity mindset, right? I mean, there's lots of books out there that talk about an abundant and a growth mindset versus the scarcity mindset. So if you're, you know, that's just a true definition of a scarcity mindset, but also that equates to you second guessing, are you enough? Do I have what it takes? You know, because most of us spend, again, we throw some true serum on you all, then, you know, if I asked an audience of thousands, which I have done many times, how many of you by a show of hands would be willing to admit that you spend more time thinking about what you don't have, can't do, not good at versus what you do have, what you can do, what you are good at? 99.9% of the audience is going to raise their hand. And that's just a habit, right? We know that book too. 42% of our day is just a habit. And so when you've created that consistency, right? Consistency compounds good and bad. So when you start having that type of attitude, that type of behavior, then you don't focus on what you can do, what you do have, and what you're not good at. And so that's one of my favorite things to address that and say, so what is right with you? And then when people, like, they don't want to answer because they don't think about it. And then they come up with excuses. Well, I don't want to be cocky. Well, right. you can't be confident if you can't buy into you. And if you don't buy into you, then nobody else is going to buy into you. You could have the best idea, concept, but if you don't buy into yourself being able to do it, then nobody else is going to, it's going to be, the struggle will be real.
Right. You said something right there too. When you just said how people try to make up these excuses. And I remember at the last IMC, when John was up on stage and he actually talked about excuses being a lie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how many people actually tell themselves lies every day?
Every day.
So they don't get out of their comfort zone. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
Yeah. And a lot of it's that self-talk, right? And which equates to the belief that you have in yourself. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
So what actually inspired Core Training? Like, what was going on when you guys said, you know what, we need to start this program for you?
So, it's a long story, but, you know, it's interesting because I always go back to, I can remember, if I were to go back and I can remember when I was 10 and I would be lying in bed and I'd be like, I'm going to be something someday. I'm going to do something with my life. I'm not going to live like this, because that's a whole nother story. Why I do what I do is because of my upbringing. But little did I know that it would be, and I'd be, I'm going to be on a stage sometime. And I thought I was going to be a lawyer and lock mean people up. Then it equated to just working. And, you know, God has had a way of equipping me with many different scenarios that I had mentors that got me to the next step. So I actually did think I was going to be a lawyer, and I was in Boston and I was working at law firms thinking if that's the route that I was going to take. And I'm like, yeah, no. it's that knowing it's relationships, right? One person, hold on, I should probably. Okay, sorry about that. Being involved in one career led me to another person. And I still always had that, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. This isn't what I'm supposed to do. But it got me to the next level of somebody in my path to make me think a little bigger. And then it was about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, that I was exposed to an organization that was actually on the West Coast. And then they are no longer around, but I was exposed to it. And when I was exposed to the idea, I said, this is what I'm supposed to do when I grow up. I don't know what it's supposed to look like, but this is what I'm supposed to do when I grow up. And so then it just kind of evolved into, well, I want to work with young women. I want to empower them. It goes back to that. I want to do something with my life. I'm going to make a difference. And so it was just understanding and having an idea that people were doing leadership, and that it was just a calling that I said, I'm going to figure this out. And so being exposed to this company, they went bankrupt, but being exposed to that, I just one day, literally one day, they had offered me like a sales position because they were going a different route. And I literally that day walked downstairs to my husband and I said, I'm starting my own company today. And he's like, okay, what are we doing? I'm like, student mentoring and leadership and women in leadership. And he's like, okay. And so here we are 15 years later. So it's evolved, right? And so, but the beginning was the belief part. It was, could I do this? Can I do this? Who am I to? And then you have all the people when you're going out there, you know, it's like, well, are you a teacher? No, I don't have a degree in teaching. Then what do you know? So it's all of the things that are going to come against you when you have this purpose, when you have this dream that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my calling. And you know, being a woman of faith, I had to keep buying into that. And trust me, there were many times that I threw the cell phone and thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. I ate a lot of lettuce. but just didn't give up 100%, maybe for a couple hours, and just kept going. And now that ripple effect. And I think that's, you know, I read a book many years ago, and it was called Dream Seeds. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but it was called Dream Seeds with the author was Mike Murdock. And he talks about how when you have a seed planted within you so deep that nobody can take that away from you, and that is God's calling on you, that is God's gift to you. And so that has stuck with me in many areas of my life, as to finding the difference of, you know, really kind of sitting down and saying, is this me trying to be controlling, or is this really so deep that I have to do this? And this was one of those. This is so deep, I have to do this. And then it's interesting how God has equipped me to do that because of my story. So the passion comes from my upbringing. You know, I'm one of nine that graduated from high school. I don't even know if you know my story or not, but, you know, and I'm one of nine that went on to college, and I'm the youngest. And I didn't do it alone. Clearly, God had a calling on my life. However, he put certain people in my life all the time to get me to the next level, to get me to the next level. That's why I'm so passionate about student mentoring and student leadership, is because I'm that girl that should have failed if you were to read books on statistics about my upbringing. But I'm not. I'm right here.
That's right. You sound right. So how did so when you guys were like out there pitching the idea to these schools and stuff, and you said these people were asking, well, what's your education background? Are you a teacher? Are you this? How did you have the mindset just to kind of persevere and hunker down and be like, look, you guys aren't going to dictate what I'm about to do here?
And it's such a great question. It's a question that my husband and I had so many times, you know, and I'm like, does it really? And I think it's just, again, it's a mindset, right? And so I had to be mindful of, well, I'm not coming in to be a teacher, as far as I'm not trying to teach you academics. I'm trying to actually teach you leadership. That I can do. My whole thing is, you know, authenticity, life skills, relationships. My whole being is relational leadership. And so that's why I joined Maxwell. I just wanted to be better, right? And that is what gave me the belief of, Deb, own your stuff. Like, this is what you teach, so own your stuff. And I mean, we all want to belong and fit in, right? We all want to be liked. And so it didn't mean that they didn't like me. I think it was my perception that I had to change. Just because they're asking me that, it doesn't have to be a negative. So it's okay to say, no, as a matter of fact, I'm not a teacher, but I am a teacher in leadership, a teacher in relational leadership. And so that was my stuff that I had to start owning, that they're not asking me to be mean. So, and so that for me, it was just a mindset and a shift in how somebody was asking me that question. Because here's the thing, when I first started, you know, it was a while ago, so people were like, we don't have any money. You know, people would tell you schools don't have any money. Well, yeah, they do. And so the thing that got me right away was, first of all, I had the belief, because when I started, I said, let me do this for free. And it worked. But then when I had to say, okay, this is what it would cost, nobody said, Deb, what a dumb idea that is.
Yeah.
Everybody asked, how do we pay for that? Because that sounds incredible.
That's crazy.
And that's when I was like, okay, that we have to figure that part out. But I also don't want to be a grant writer and all those kinds of things. So that gave me the belief that this is something. And now, of course, you know, the past couple of years, because of all the things that have happened in the world, the whole what we do is all social and emotional intelligence. And so that has really supported us, because we went online like everybody else did during COVID. And I think we're kind of jumping all over the place here, but we're organically having a conversation.
So with core training, I know you guys are going into the schools and you guys are interacting with a lot of students. What is like the main goal when you guys are actually talking with? Because I know you guys are talking to what, juniors and seniors mostly, or is it the full gamut?
It's so I'll back up to answer some of your questions, and I'll see if I can streamline it a little bit. Okay. So core trainings, we are not all things to all people, but our whole lane is that relational leadership. So we have student to student mentoring programs as one lane that we focus on. And that is, yes, we utilize in a high school setting, we utilize juniors and seniors that mentor the entire incoming class. And so that's one avenue that we have, that we do student to student mentoring. That's one lane. Another lane is we do student leadership as well as athletic leadership and captain's workshops. So we have one day leadership programs. Sometimes they could be 2 hours. And so I prefer a day, a full day, where we have students. And if it's for student athletes, then we work through the athletic director. And we have our whole style is hands-on training. We speak. I also speak. That's why, again, I got into Maxwell, because I wanted, people were saying, hey, Deb, can you speak? Like, your story is unbelievable. But I always wanted to have purpose with it. Of course, that's what Roddy helps us with. So the speaking allows me to go back with programming. And that's what my passion is to roll up the sleeves and teach people leadership, more specifically relational leadership. And we do that in our mentoring programs as well, because again, people go along with people they get along with and that they like. And then we also do leagues where we were just at one a couple of days ago where all districts have leagues, right? And for athletic leads. So we partner with a lot of athletic associations across the country, and as well as the National Federation of High Schools. So there could be 10 to 12 schools in a league. So one of the schools will host it, and then each school brings 10, 15 kids. So we have about 100, the other day we had 130 student athletes that were from 10 different schools that we come in, and Trevor and I created a four-hour workshop. And it's hands down, it's pretty awesome. It's hands-on, it's authentic, it's realistic. It's teaching them what leadership is as well as what leadership's not. And as we know, it's not about positions and titles, but it also gives them the opportunity to interact with other people, and especially in leagues where they're playing sports against each other, how you can increase your sportsmanship is by building those relationships and realizing, hey, listen, we all want to win, but really giving them the tools that equip them to be better, to be effective, right? That's what we want. We want effective leaders and mentors. We don't have that. We don't have a lot of that around us right now that's showing us how to be effective in our leadership. And so those are also some of our favorite programs to do. And then the student mentoring is every single month during the school day. These are not after school programs. This is changing school culture, school climate. And so, and it's all students. Our largest school has 4,000 students, and there are 1,000 freshmen. We have 225 juniors and seniors that mentor those freshmen every single month. And we do all their upfront training to equip them on what mentoring is, what their expectation is, the roles, responsibilities, earn the right to put it on your resume, and you have to show up. And and then they meet with those freshmen, and we have systems. So it's pretty awesome. So we right now we probably serve anywhere from 12 to 15,000 kids directly impacted by our programming right now every single month.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That is
not enough, though.
It's not enough, right? But wow. Like what opportunity to be in a place where you can actually transform the way you think, mm-hmm. and just do some self-reflection. Because I bet a lot of the students, they have no idea what leadership really was until they actually got into this program.
Right.
And now they could just take it and run. Yeah. And once they go off to, I mean, if they actually choose to go to college, now they have something to, they actually have a benchmark. That's huge.
And it's nobody's teaching them. And I get it, you know, in sports, it's X's and O's. But, you know, right now there's a deficit in sportsmanship. There's a deficit in behavior. And you're seeing it big time, that ripple effect right now. And again, it's just slowing down and putting intentionality into giving them a few tools to help them get to the next level, to become the next best version of themselves, right? And that's always the goal. And it's simple. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. But you have to slow down and put intentionality into, do you want to change the culture or not? Right now, the answer is yes. And so we've just been blessed to, and I think, you know, it's Our superpowers are our passion and our positivity, and we're authentic. We're very realistic. We take a very realistic approach to whether it's mentoring, whether it's leadership. We don't go in there and go, "Hi, I'm your mentor. Life is great." No. Nobody wants to be around that.
Yeah, they can read through that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't kid a kid. Where do you think that expression came from, right?
Right.
You know?
I know. So when you guys are talking with these youth, I mean, is there any like point in time where you say, man, this is how I was back then, or I could see myself in this person?
Yeah, that's potential. That's the whole. Yeah, that's my whole being. And why we do student mentoring, because again, you know, I've lost a lot. I've grew up in foster homes. I was an orphan at 7. And so to me, school was my safe place. And so I can always bring that back, because the bottom line is at this day and age, every single student that is in any audience is facing a battle we know nothing about. We don't know the story. We know that there's something, and some, you know, when we were all, you know, hey, look, same thing. Like, I tell them, I share my story, you know, depending upon my audience at what level, you know, but, you know, hey, we're all going to look good, smell good, wear the right clothes, say the right things, just like I did. Right. But that doesn't mean that life is perfect. And especially now, it's, there's this big thing of no trust. And so we've been doing a lot of workshops on values, because first of all, they've never thought about what their values are. And in order to build positive relationships, you need to value people. But in order to value people, you need to know what values are. And more specifically, we need to know what your values are. So we've been slowing down a little bit, talking about that, to put, again, intentionality into that positive mindset of what are your values. And when you start and sit down and they realize that they're very similar, regardless of the color of our skin, the nationality that we are, the religion that we practice, what community we live in, that we all want to belong and fit in. That's something that we are born with. That's not a learned trait. That's something we're born with. And when you get them in an environment where they realize that what is right with you, well, these are things that I do well, and then these are my values. And then when they're sitting with somebody who's completely opposite of them, maybe practice a different religion or a different culture, but yet they realize, like, you too, we're not all that different. And so then you're have the opportunity to just empower them to realize you can trust, because that all comes down to how do you build meaningful and intentional relationships. Well, you've got to be willing to be a little vulnerable. That doesn't mean knowing your deepest, darkest secrets, but we need to trust first. And we're not taught that now because of social media, because of, you know, nobody wants to look bad. But if they realize, in order to, and that's been our whole mantra this year, has been, you want trust, right? How many of you want trust? And they all want to trust. And well, you need to trust first. So if not you, then who? And if not now, then when?
So you put it back on them, basically.
Mm-hmm. Because they have to own it, right? If it's going to change, who's going to do it? And right. Stop pointing the finger and scrolling through your social media, because we also know it's not realistic too.
Right. And I'll never forget when I took when I went to Fuller, I was taking this Muslim class. And one of the projects that I had to do in that class was, I had to speak with some people with the Muslim faith, and we talked. And I never forget this one time where I actually, this particular interview was through phone, and it wasn't face to face or anything. And these kids, one was, I believe, in Carolina somewhere, one was in Texas, and another one was in somewhere in the South. I can't remember. And so I'm just asking them questions. And at the time, one of the girls, she was a junior. And so I was like, so what are some of the ideas? So what are some of your dreams, basically?
What do you practice?
Yeah, what do you want to do? Like, what is it? And she was like, I really want to get into TV or movie production and directing. And I was like, why? And she just said, you know, I want to share our faith in another way where people actually accept us, because we get so much criticism and pushback. And so when I asked her, I was like, so who's your favorite movie director? And I would have never thought that this person would have said Ava DuVernay, the one who directed that documentary 13th and some other stuff. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, why? And she was like, I just love her authenticity. I love what she's doing, blah, blah, blah. So she just kind of, and so just through that conversation, just opened my eyes to, you know, even though people are different, we still have so many similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And we still want the same thing and the outcomes for our lives and just to share.
Yeah. And the one word you just said right there too is authenticity.
Yeah.
Like we hear that all the time. You can't compete with that. And when somebody knows you're authentic, we're going to let our walls down a little bit, because I think that also it breeds vulnerability, right? Being authentic, owning yourself. And there's just that instant connection when you feel like some, your walls just come down a little bit when somebody is authentic, because it's like, you're not judging me because of whatever reason, and that you're just there, you're just being. So that authenticity, it's, you can't compete with it. So you don't feel like you're competing with it. Then you can also be yourself as well, because you just created a safe space, I guess, is pretty cool.
So I know you talked about like what your calling is, but can you identify like two of your gifts that you actually have, that you actually share on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, very easily. Positivity. I like me some positive. I've actually been accused of being too positive sometimes, but that's okay. I'll take it. It's better than negative. But definitely positivity is it's who I am. And I've just decided that I'd had too much negative in my life, and that it's just positive. And then the other one is, I also feel that I'm very, very authentic. What you see is what you get, whether I'm, you know, teaching my kickboxing class on Saturday mornings at the gym or.
So you're actually teaching it?
I actually teach kickboxing. Yes.
Good deal.
Another little side thing that Yes, health and wellness is also something that I'm very passionate about. And so I've taught fitness for years and years and years, and I used to be a director at Gold's Gyms and all that kind of stuff. Also, thankfully my business has picked up so much so that I really can't do that anymore. But I will always teach, because it's just, I love to mentor. I love to empower. So that's just another little piece that I do on Saturday mornings.
That's right.
Kickboxing class. Yeah. But so authenticity. So whether I'm in a kickboxing class or I'm on a stage, I really love people. I really love people. And I pride myself in being authentic so that I can value them for where they're at.
So through Maxwell, I know he's always talking about like adding value, and I mean, there's just so much that we can actually learn just from his books. And he's like, I'll never forget what he talked about, you know, how so many people just kind of come up to him and ask him about something that he said. And he because he's written so much, he's like, I don't know what I said sometimes, but just go ahead on and just make it your own. Right.
Yeah.
When it comes to like just, because he actually, you know, he talked a little bit about his system with reading and writing on a daily basis and like every day. What are some principles that you actually live by, or some systems that you actually use on a daily basis to kind of help you with your with core training?
Yeah, I appreciate that. The focus, right, is the focus. And so, again, being a woman of faith, not throwing that out to the universe, but I am a little bit, so being a person of faith, I right here in front of me, it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 sitting right here in front of me. And so I do pride myself in having my quiet time. And sometimes my quiet time is, if I'm up early, it might be in my car. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm sitting at my table and having coffee. It might be I'm in my car and I'm having my time with my Jesus. So that is my firm foundation, if you will, to constantly be And sometimes it might not necessarily be in a Bible. It might be music. I'm a huge person of music. I love music. I think music is everything. I don't think I ever do a training without music. And it's very rare that I don't have some music going. So definitely that is a foundation of, and that's also, I pride myself in listening to positive music. I'm very careful of who I follow. I'm very careful of what I program. So I'd say that's also a daily routine of the things that I'm listening to. It's going to be positive. The things that I read, it's not going to have foul language in it. So I protect my mind. And those are daily things that I work really hard on, which supports that person of being a positive person.
We dove deep into the world of relational leadership and student mentoring, and we explored the power of an abundant mindset and the impact of scarcity thinking. But here's one thing: we have the power to reshape our mindset and break free from scarcity and embrace abundance. You know, we learn about authenticity and just saying no when needed to take care of ourselves, and the importance of being true to ourselves. And as we learn and we just talk about the passions of developing leaders and developing ourselves, especially among students in this episode, let's just think about ways that we can actually apply what we actually heard today. And if there was something that resonated with you, look for an opportunity to discover and see how that impacts your life so you can become the best version of yourself. This is Dee Wells, your host, and I'll see you next week in part two of our conclusion with Deb Holt. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You? Our goal is to add value to your life by providing you with tools and applicable information that you can utilize today to become the best version of yourself. Have faith. Believe in yourself. God does. If you believe in us like we believe in you, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for free content at thewhynotyou.com.